The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
They come to your place, they want to be a ruler in every case. They lie down in bed, your wife have to do all the work instead. At 10 o'clock she ain't get up yet, but she ordering the coffee and cigarette. Now if it's misery, sorrow and war, live with a nosy mother-in-law.
As you turn your back, the mother-in-law start to make her attack. Don't you see the man is gonna be rude? Why don't you leave him and come back home?
That's the ending of everything. Your wife presents you back with a ring. So if it's misery, sorrow and war, live with a nosy mother-in-law.
Oh, God.
Mother-in-law start to make her attack, can't you see? The boy gone to roam,
why don't you leave him and come back home?
Hear the ending of everything, your wife presents you back with a ring. So if it's misery, sorrow and war,
live with a nosy mother-in-law.
I see the misery, sorrow and war,
live with a nosy mother-in-law.
Oh, she's so nosy,
talking about her nosy mother-in-law.
All about she posing.
I tell you,
you can't believe she won't row, fight, cuss, everything.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 14th of April, 2023, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green on this Sports Friday with Mr. Eric Sawyer III. I am just waiting for Mr. Sawyer to join us via Zoom or to call in. As you know, Mr. Sawyer is a working man, and I'm always grateful that he can join us in studio. Sometimes he is unable, but we are talking NBA this week. So I'm hoping Mr. Sawyer, producer, look out for Mr. Sawyer. I think he's going to call in on one of those numbers. But joining me in studio this morning is Simba French, sports reporter at the Nassau Guardian. And he's joining me. We could do a little Carifta wrap-up. And then we're going to talk a little NBA. It's the end of the season. The 82 games are done. And it's been surprising. But let's get into local news first. I realize the vast majority of the stories I pull are from the Nassau Guardian sports section. So it's great to have a Guardian sports reporter in studio to fill in the details and the gaps. So, Mr. French, I saw this awesome story in the paper, Nassau Gnastics sending a team to Cats Beach Blast invite. Nassau Gymnastics, the oldest gymnastics club in the country, is sending a team of seven gymnasts off to the Cats Beach Blast invite, staged by Gold Coast Gymnastics at Palm Beach Central High School in Wellington, Florida, USA. The weekend tournament is set for April 15th through 16th. Representing the club and the country are Taylor Robinson, Karis Edgecombe, Kia Bazard, Anai Ingram, Braden Musgrove, and the youngest member of the team at 4 years old is Chanel Hepburn. They will be coached by established gymnast Rashad Cunningham, who has represented the Bombers internationally for years. Cunningham said this is the third time this year they are traveling to international competitions and that their goal is to qualify for major meets such as the Pan American Games and ultimately the Junior World Gymnastics Championships and the Youth and Junior Olympics. The 2023 Cats Beach Blast invite is sanctioned by USA Gymnastics, the national governing body for the sports of gymnastics in the United States. Mr. French, now, we have a acrobatic tradition here in the Bahamas, right? Very popular, particularly amongst young boys, jumping on the beach, tumbling, turning on the beach, right? And I grew up going to the beach, and that was one of the highlights of any trip to the beach, is to see other young, daring, you know, kids out there tossing and turning, jumping up in the air. And so for me, like, gymnastics is sort of natural to us. What's missing is the lack of resources and facilities, not the lack of talent. We got 85,000 sports already on the table being played in the Bahamas. Gymnastics, should we add that? Can we add that to the list in terms of a sport that we are competing in internationally regularly? And could it be a part of the of a sports tourism model?
I think it actually is already. There's a tournament of Atlantis, I think, at the end of the year. It happens, I think, in December, if I'm
okay.
Correct. Yeah, we are a lot of a gymnast come down and they put on a show.
Okay.
The Heyman's also performing that as well.
All right.
So we already have it. It's just a matter of the how frequent you could have it now.
Okay. See, yeah. This, for me, this is exciting, right? Having a debate on the show and a broader debate about the national sport, about sports, and then about sports tourism as well, right? And I think the sports tourism model says have as many sports or create as many opportunities to participate in different sports as possible, right? But from a national development perspective, at some point you say, but we have to prioritize a sport, right? We have to prioritize some sports. We have to divert resources to the top two, three sports.
To the core sports, per
right.
se.
Yeah, to the
core.
Right? And I mean, that's a sensible word, the core sports. In terms of like inclusion, I say, is equestrian a core sport? It can't be, right?
No, to be honest. It could be, but I mean, everything could happen, but I don't see equestrian being a core sport in the Bahamas.
All right.
At least right now.
Now, I don't know if you guys saw Simba French's article in, I think, yesterday's Guardian on the national sport announcement.
This morning.
In this morning's paper on the national sport announcement, right? And so I'm going to ask the audience to call in. Next week, I'm going to have another sports stakeholder join the conversation about what the national sport should be, right? Mm-hmm. And the process of just determining what your national sport should be, right? So what should it be? What will it be? What should it be? But how do we determine this, right? And I think, I don't like the way that it was done this year. I don't think there was sufficient consultation. But that doesn't mean we can't prepare for the future, right? Because we may have to change the sport in the next 20 years. In the next 40 years, we may see a significant development in a particular sport, like basketball.
It depends. I guess it depends which government in power. They might, I like track, so let's make track the national sport.
Right, right. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
To what extent do the policymakers make the decision, right? And what extent do the sports stakeholders come together and make the decision. Because I could appreciate the sporting world getting together and saying, we don't really need to consult the general public. Let the sports people make the determination, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know how they got to choose national sport.
Yeah.
I know, well, I guess I wasn't consulted. I don't know if my editor was consulted, but in terms of sports media being involved in it, I do not know if there was any involvement in it.
Wow. I see, that's concerning for me, right? Because you're going to need all of the elements. When I entered the conversation, I thought, okay, sloop sailing, perfect. Why wouldn't it be sloop sailing, right? We're an archipelago, history of boat building, navigating the seas in this, not just our waters, not just the region, but the whole sort of hemisphere. It should be sailing, without a doubt. And then, you know, the arguments came up. Why wouldn't it be basketball? This is a sound argument. At first, it seems like these young people just want to latch on to all things American. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the proliferation of basketball spaces, the number of courts that are up, the opportunities to play for young people.
It's everywhere. The streets.
Right.
You know, you go through a corner, you see kids playing with the crate, the black crate.
Right. No, absolutely.
Schools, or basically all schools have a basketball court.
Right. And a basketball program, right? Yeah. It's an option. When I was coming up in QC in the 1990, 89-ish, transitioning into high school, we played netball. The girls played netball. They didn't really play basketball, you know. They played netball. But now, you know, basketball is everywhere. But at the same time, I have this thing, right? I always see young men in basketball gear, sweatpants, you know. But I don't ever see them in tennis. I don't ever see them in the proper playing shoes, right? And I wonder to what extent, or maybe this is like just a first world consideration. Maybe like bougie people sitting way up here can't see it because you go to the rest of the world where soccer is the national sport, declared or undeclared. People play soccer, whether they have shoes or not.
Yeah, they do.
They are playing. They don't need a official designated field. They don't need goalposts. Sometimes they don't even need a proper ball.
Exactly.
You know, and so maybe this idea that...
Some instances of soccer, they use two shoes, you know.
Yeah.
As goals.
Or two T-shirts.
T-shirts.
When it's time to play soccer, it's time to play soccer, right? And but that's culture. That's, you know why soccer is national sport in places where it is. And you see it in the culture, in the lives of the people. Simba, I got a call here. Let's go to this call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Gray, and good morning to your guests. I'm excited to know that sailing is the national sport of the Bahamas.
The announcement hasn't been made yet, Pumpkin Eater. We have time. Has the announcement been made, Simba?
Well, passing the house.
Hold on.
Well, it's, yeah.
Yes.
In Parliament. I watched Parliament. Yeah. I'm a bus journalist.
Yeah, yeah.
It was done by the Minister of Sports. They're going to be official announcement down in the Exuma Regatta.
Yeah.
So have they gazetted it yet? See, because it don't matter to me until it's gazetted.
Yes, in Parliament. It was in Parliament.
No. Being in Parliament don't mean it's gazetted.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think that the Minister of Sports will make a formal announcement, like I said, Exuma. Yeah, I think Exuma Regatta next week.
Next Friday.
At the, National Regatta.
Sailing is a national sport. Going to be a national sport. It's official.
Now, listen, me and you, we can row for 2 seconds. Because I hear what you're saying.
Well, I'm surprised the BIS didn't get it to the public media yet.
That's what you're surprised. That's what you're surprised about?
I'm surprised you don't know that because I...
Listen, I ain't surprised about nothing about BIS, but what I'm telling you is this. Obviously, you didn't hear the governor general, the highest official in the land, declare that he can't wait for baseball to be the national sport again, right? And that's the chief. Who more chiefier than him?
But someone get to the minister late or someone get something late. Because you can call the Minister of Sport, and get that information. Like I said, the official announcement should be next summer, next week.
Yeah, but I know.
But I do know. I do know that, and I was excited about it. I said, I got to call your show. By you mentioning it, call your show, let you know that sailing now, it is an national sport. And they've been talking around for a long time, you know.
I've been talking about it, Pumpkin Eater.
Until they gazette it. But the National Guardian had nothing on it?
No, the story is in today's paper.
No, what did NASA got out in the paper? What did they have in the sports sector? What did they have?
Why are you trying to school me and learn me, Pumpkin Eater?
You didn't know.
I knew Pumpkin Eater. Telling you is that as a Bahamian who has not been properly consulted in this matter, nor have I been presented, right, with a paradigm, a policy. I haven't been presented with a white paper, a document that explains to me how the decision was made, what the criteria was used to make the decision, so that in the future, when it's my turn to make the decisions, I will know the protocols to make the decision. I don't accept anything until it is gazetted. That's all I say.
Aaron, this lobbying thing and agitating thing was done for years, you know.
But was the public consulted, Pumpkin Eater, and whose decision is it to make? Whose country is it? Whose national sport is it? Does the decision lie with the PLP? Is this the PLP's country?
No,
but that's the point I'm making, Pumpkin Eater. The people, and there's such a lack of clarity on the process that the Governor General had the audacity to express his opinion and suggest that baseball should be the number one sport. And if
the governor made this statement
at the opening of the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium, Pumpkin Eater. That's all I'm saying.
That Andrew Baseball Stadium was done what last year.
But listen, Pumpkin Eater, I lose a call just now. I gotta go. I tell you why, because we only rowing. We only fussing.
Let me ask the sports reporter. Have they done any written throughout the month?
Any what?
Sports reporter there?
Have they what? Are they here?
Have y'all done any written during the month on their post regarding being a national sport?
On any articles?
Yeah, have they done anything throughout the month?
Well,
I did an article this morning.
Right.
Not this morning, but have you done it throughout the month? See,
no, but last month.
That's our newspapers.
But Pumpkin Eater, this is where I pull my stories from, the Guardian sports section.
Right,
so all of the last 2 years I've been talking about the national sport, the Guardian would be my source for those stories. The media is covering the story, but my critique is with the government.
Sometimes the media don't cover the story in depth.
I got you.
And
listen,
I'm a West journalist. I'm not going to blame the media for that.
No, man, and I appreciate you trying to bring some balance to the conversation,
right,
Pumpkin Eater. But you can't learn more on this one. I with the Governor General, I want porking to be the national sport, and ain't nobody asked me, and my feelings are, I feel like I want to pork somebody now. But I got to go. I got to go. Thank you so much, Pumpkin Eater.
Trying to have violence.
Yeah, good morning, Carly. You on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, Sparky. How you do?
Boy, we got a hidden sport right there that nobody's talking about too much, you know. It is beyond the street light. What about dice?
Oh, listen, that is a...
You haven't just grown up as soon as the light go down, the sun go down, and that light, that street light come out through the corner, the fellas gather and say, 7-Eleven and crop.
No, man, I thought that was a continuing education math class.
but you know, on a more serious note now.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to sailing or cricket or what is this and that, we must say history has to park that. The first vehicle came to the Bahamas was Columbus in a sailing sloop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sailing should be our national sport. The first person entered the Western Hemisphere, according to history, is, that's what they call it, the them fellas over there, them Spanish and English people, was Columbus in his sailing sloop. So we've been slooping and sailing ever since.
True.
So what the row is all about, just let's say sailing is our national sport. Cricket was a sport came in from the English, I was adopted by the our brothers and sisters down in the South, mainly Trinidad and Barbados. And when a bunch of policemen came to the Bahamas, they brought that up as their sport. That's their sport down in Trinidad and the Bahamas. They name it. They named cricket as our national sport. It wasn't the Bahamians. It was the Barbadians and the Trinidadians.
Okay.
So our brothers and them on the Rolly Gray and them been sailing and rowing dinghy up and down the harbor from Hatchet with a hammer. So I think I can satisfy with sailing. Have a good day.
I got you. Now, Sparky raised a great point, right? Mm-hmm. Cricket. Now, Sparky says cricket was brought to us by the Barbados, the British, right? Cricket is a part of sort of the colonial experience. This is why history is so important and having these conversations is so important. Because when you look at cricket and you look at soccer, right, two extremely popular games, in the sort of colonial commonwealth.
They're actually the top two watched sports in the world.
There you go, right?
Cricket and soccer.
Right, there you go. It's our experience, like where we're located, we don't see it. If you change your perspective just a little bit, you will see that both soccer and cricket are more than sports. That sounds weird, right? But these sports become national sports because they are more than sports in the lives of the people. Christian Campbell, we referenced him yesterday, one of the Rhodes Scholars who was a published poet. He gave a speech, a prolific speech. He was reading Beyond the Boundary, which is a book about the first time that the West Indies team beat Britain, the colonizers.
Mm, yeah.
And he was reading that book when the Golden Girls won the race, right, the relay. And in this essay, he expresses like the role that cricket played in the lives of West Indians and this experience of what it meant to play the British and what it meant to beat the British for the first time.
It's woven in basically in the culture. You know, yeah. Cricket is woven, especially down south. It's a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, huge still. Huge. The same way you can't talk to your husband when it's basketball time, mm-hmm. football time. Same thing. But look, I got a couple calls and we get back to this. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Hi. How you do?
I'm fine. I spoke to you before about the sailing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like I said, my kids start sailing at the age of 8.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're teaching this in the schools, because most of the government schools are a part of the National Sailing Program,
mm-hmm.
where they have the kids go to the Nassau Yacht Club and they sail those little individual sailboats.
Yes.
And they have, I think, a CV Bell. They are at the point now where they build their own sailboat.
Yeah, I remember. I went to CV Bell in 05, and Mr. Gibson, I remember the first name, but he was big in sailing, and he used to have like a sailing club, per se.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are pushing this through the Ministry of Agriculture in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I say, my kids were recipients of it.
Absolutely.
You understand? So
yes.
This is why sailing, you know, I don't know no behemoth school that actually do cricket, to be honest with you.
There's some primary schools trying it out.
Yeah, the cricket league is trying to re-engage the public school, the school system.
Yeah, they were trying over the past couple of years, but it never got into the high school level.
Right. Thank you for making that point. And I'm going to highlight again the programs, you know, supported by the sailing community to ensure that young people, including disadvantaged kids, have an opportunity. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
That's good. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Is sailing a sport?
Yeah. Sailing is a sport.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
What is the guy from Garden Hill, Mario Boulanger?
The Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture?
Okay. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
I hear something else in the House of Assembly, and it really had to be straightened out.
Okay.
What is the Minister of Agriculture and Fishery got to do with sailing?
Look at...
They are in charge of regattas.
Right, because he's the Minister of Family Island Affairs. I think they're in charge of regattas.
Shouldn't be.
Okay.
If you want to deal with sport, let's deal with sport.
Right. Why not put regattas in sport?
Under sport.
Okay. And maybe that'll shift the perspective on it.
Right. Even though most Bahamians only go to regatta to party, they don't know too much about sailing. Believe me, I've been around sailing.
Yes, sir.
But it's a party thing.
Yeah.
And it generates a lot of money for most areas.
Well, sports and entertainment go on and on.
True. I mean, go on, sir.
But they should really straighten it out and move it from agriculture and put it under where it should be at all times, under sports.
Okay, my producer is saying it's also under sports. But
I listened to Fountain a while ago. I think that was his name. And he was saying the Minister of Sport. The Minister of Sport never sleeps on Wednesday. It was the Minister of Agriculture who bought it, and Michael Pintard seconded it. See, we have to say exactly what happened. Don't take it over and put it in the Minister of Sport. The Minister of Sport couldn't speak on that because it's not on his portfolio. I was trying to figure that out too. Why is it not? But like they say, whenever the government changes up the name.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
So
but it should be on the spot,
so
honestly.
This is an important point you make in, right?
I mean, even under the last administration, the farm and regattas fall under agriculture.
Yeah.
Resources.
But you know, we like I say, it's a good thing because it generates a lot of money for the all community. Every community that has sailing is good. And I've been around sport a lot. But I always try to figure why is under agriculture and fisheries.
And
then it's a smarting thing.
And
it
this
really
is something.
It's a smarting thing. It's a betting that people bet on those things, you know.
I don't know about betting.
Oh, believe me. they bet on them.
Like,
I mean, it might not be dollars and all that.
Yeah.
You got drinks and food and who buying it tonight and who, you know, that's what it's all about. You know?
Absolutely, sir. And I really appreciate the contribution. Thank you so much.
All right. Y'all have a good one today.
Right. Carly, coming to you next. Look here, this is important, right? Because this is a part of the policy. All of this should be in a white paper.
But I think the Ministry of Sports do, I guess, I don't want to say oversee it, but it's part of their
purview, their portfolio.
Purview. It's just that for some reason, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources have, I don't want to say you're saying it, but they organize the regattas.
Yeah. And okay, let's go to this next caller because I want to make a point about how a sport becomes a national sport. Morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and to your guests and to your listeners.
Good morning, how you do?
Rachel, well, no, Poppy, your listeners. Ms. Green, is John Canoe a sport? I know it's a sport to us, but do we have it like...
Right, because it is a competition.
Cricket and all of them, what plenty of us might be into. I know a lot of us into John Canoe, so I don't want to know if John Canoe is a sport.
Man, look here, I love how you call today and complicate the whole vibe, you know, because junk... Hold on, I feel you, Simba. Because we can say it's not a sport, right? It's not a sport, but
what?
It's a competition.
Uh-huh.
It requires physical exertion. And and strengthening, right? You can't just go out there weak
sound
and
like
think
a
you
sport
could.
To me.
I telling you, it sounds like a sport.
It's more artsy.
But I
it
don't think it's
like a sport too.
And the way we carry on about it.
Bremen is ringing the cowbells, and he can't see neither.
Right. So right.
Great job, one of the best cowbellers going.
But look here, greater than the greatest scrap group in the history of the world, white people in John Canoe, except for the pigs in Methuselahs, of course. The spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome.
So you wouldn't know if it really is. But tell me, they take Bahama Games coming up next, eh?
Yes.
The Bahama Games coming up next.
In July.
I'm excited.
You excited about it?
Yeah, man. If I hadn't broken my foot, I'd be training right now, trying out
something else. Do something else. You know, throw something.
I hope they're doing porking.
park in.
Yeah, because I could park from a wheelchair. Look here, that's a fun game.
Listen, talking about the wheelchair, you helped me remember what I really, really wanted to touch.
Yes, sir.
I didn't get a chance Saturday, neither Monday. You say the disabled people was going to be participating in the grifter, right?
Yeah.
And I ain't catch it on the news yet. But it made I started to think how a lot of people talk right now. They say this is one of the best grifter athletes they must perform.
Yeah.
And we know things rough on a lot of people. And some people might say some of those parents with those children might have money, but all of them don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what my idea was. Want to encourage the government to do a little bit more. I know the government doing a lot, and the government can't do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just like how we have money budget for traveling and representing the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You see, these athletes, them, I agree for them to get some, but I talk about my Special Olympics will go around and represent us.
World class.
We're begging just like everyone else, trying to get some funds to be able to travel. We shouldn't have that in the Bahamas.
No, not at all.
These Special Olympians, they go and they represent us, and it takes a lot. And I know their parents, them, have to push a lot. So let's make sure their travel arrangement and
always taken care of
by the Bahamas or the government.
Yeah.
By the government of the Bahamas.
Yeah, man.
And their parents be able to travel with them, with the team, coaches, and different places. But don't let them come out here begging, because we can find money to do a lot of things. And this place is a blessed place. You check everyone they bragging, but how much millions of dollars profit they making?
Yes,
come
sir.
On.
Thank
let's
you.
Put more into sport. I want to encourage the government of the Bahamas and the corporate citizens out there who have money to let's put more at them, because they're doing a good job. Y'all keep up the good work and have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they're world-class, and they're outperforming our, I want to say, able-bodied athletes, right? They're outperforming the other athletes. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? Sorry, we miss you. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello. Good morning. How are you, my dear?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, Eric Sawyer here. What's
good morning, sir. Everything is good. Everything is good.
Hey, Simba.
All right, Mr. Sawyer, you hold the line. Let me take this next call, and then we're going to transition into NBA. Good morning. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. Go in once. Go in twice. Okay. Here's what we go into this break. When we get back from the break, we're going to close off the National Sport Talk, talk NBA to see the regular season is finished, and I got to see how my teams are doing. You're on the clock with Mr. Simba French, Eric Sawyer joining us by phone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 2300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-236-302-2361 or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters. We'll be right back.
morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I am trying to segue into this NBA conversation. I'm finding it difficult. This conversation is hot. Let me just read these texts. We the people demand to know how much money was spent so far on the 50-year celebration of independence and an independent investigation on how much money was spent on the Carifter and who was contracted to do the work, etc. Another text, the British know why they made cricket the national sport. Everybody plays it in Britain. Every child knows the rules. It's only us who is do things for show. Let me show you guys a vibe. There's a fascinating course at University of the West Indies called Caribbean Civilizations, where you could learn a lot about the Bahamas, about the Caribbean, and about why the Bahamas sometimes feels like it doesn't belong in the Caribbean. It's an excellent course, and I learned a lot about sport and the development of sport in the region and in the Bahamas and how and where they diverted. Another text, due to the sheer volume of play, softball should be the national sport. More Bahamians play softball than any other sport. Good morning. I think Junkanoo comes under culture. Yeah, Junkanoo definitely comes under culture. But what the caller did was raise an excellent point about how we determine what is a sport and what is a national sport. Will swimming be included in the Bahama Games? Swimming is on the list for the games, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, man. And I don't know where the open water coach came from when he said that the Bahamas is not known, you know, for swimming. I think he meant in competition.
No. Yeah. He meant competition. We don't really do much open water competitions in the season like we do in the pool.
Right,
so
I feel
they're looking to have more open water competition because even at the highest level, open water is a thing.
Yeah.
You know, where looks like the pool swimming and artistic swimming and
open
water.
I know, but them who swim from Berry Islands to Andres and Andres to Nassau, I don't understand why we not competing at this sport. I mean, they don't swim that far, but plenty far. Our national sport should be water polo played out in the harbor on jet skis. Dear Texter, listen. For a second, I thought you was joking. Then I thought you was serious. Then I realized me and you both joking. Water polo is just parking in the water, and that should be the national sport.
Good park in the water.
Parking in the water. Jet skis, I'm not quite sure if my insurance is set up for that. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Oh, Mr. Sawyer, here we go. Now,
here we go.
We're going to continue this national sport talk into next week. Like I say, until it's been gazetted, it is not law, and we always have an opportunity to raise our contribution.
That is true, and you know my spot. You know my stance on it.
Basketball.
Every school has a basketball court on it.
Yep.
Every school in the Bahamas has a basketball court.
Everyone.
At least one.
Everyone. And so we could understand, we understand why this debate is so delightful. I just wish the government would let us be a part of the debate. So the 2022-23 NBA season has come to a close. People, the 77th season of the NBA ended on April the 9th. And here are the rankings. Eastern Conference, Bucks, then Celtics, 76ers, Cavs, Knicks, still surprised at the Knicks coming in the fifth spot. Nets at 6th, Hawks in 7th position, Heat in 8th, Bulls all the way down to 9th, Raptors at 10th, Pacers didn't make the playoffs. I'm very disappointed, buddy.
By 5 games.
Pardon? They lost by 5 games?
And if they played some more, I mean if they win some more, you know. Some games they lost close games.
They should have made it, hey. Yeah. Wizards in 12th, Magic in 13th, Hornets in 14th, Pistons in 15th position. With the records at the bottom of these conferences suggest to me that the NBA needs a relegation league, right? Like the English Premier League?
Like Division 1 and Division 2.
Yeah. So you get dropped. If you're at the bottom, you get dropped, and the highest team in Division 2 comes up to take your spot. In the Eastern Conference, Bucks took the Central Division. Celtics took the Atlantic Division. Seahawks took the Southeast Division. Now, what does that mean?
Playing football, man.
Oh, sorry, not the Seahawks, the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. It just means that they're on top of their division. It doesn't mean that they're going to end up the league. as it relates to a team like the Knicks, they were up and down, thankfully, during the last part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They were more up than down. I know Kyrie Irving have to be hating himself right now because he demanded a trade out of Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is in the playoffs, and Kyrie Irving is indeed not.
That's disappointing. I'd love to see him play.
The road to get out of the East goes through Milwaukee. I don't care what any Celtics fan has to say. They are not in the driver's seat. Yes, they beat Milwaukee last year, but they beat Milwaukee without the likes of Chris Middleton. They did not beat a fully healthy Milwaukee Bucks squad.
I got you.
It took them seven games to do so, even without Chris Middleton. So, yeah, they have their work cut out for them.
Eric, I have a text here for you. It says, Lakers out in the first round. No more rings for crybaby LeBron. Let me ask you a question. Was it LeBron's absence for that short period of time that ignited them and drove them into playoff contention?
It did. It did because they learned to play without him. They learned to play without the star power. They learned to go court and play as underdogs. So whenever LeBron rests during this series against the Grizzlies, because they did win their play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
So their series starts Saturday at 3:30, I think 3:30 is their game time start.
Okay.
They can be, no, Saturday, Sunday, because this is indeed the King. The King is playing on Sunday.
All right. So in the Western Conference, we got the Nuggets in the number one spot, Grizzlies two, Kings take the third spot, Suns, DeAndre Ayton, they're in fourth, Clippers in fifth, Warriors in sixth, Lakers in seventh. Now I could stop reading here, right, because basically my picks in the Western Conference were all in the Pacific Division. I am shocked that they made it into the playoffs, all of them. The first half of the season looked horrible for all of them.
All of them.
Yeah, the Lakers were 2-10 at one point, man.
Wow. Yeah.
2-10.
It was horrible. But now Lakers in 7th, Timberwolves in 8th, Thunder in 9th, Pelicans in 10th, Mavericks in 11th spot, Jazz in the 12th spot, Trailblazers in 13th. 14th and 15th is Spurs. Now, if you grew up watching basketball in the late 80s, mm-hmm. early 90s, to hear that the Jazz, the Trailblazers, the Rockets, and the Spurs hold the bottom four slots is just amazing.
Amazing. The likes of Clyde Drexler, Karl Malone, David Robinson, John Stockton, Hakeem Olajuwon.
And to see the Pistons in the Eastern Conference, and mind you, the Eastern Conference has the best record in the league this year with the Bucks 58-24 and
the worst
with the Pistons 17-65. So I just want to say to Kai, I know you talk to your team and I know you tell them that in the Bahamas this cannot happen. The Hornets cannot come last. So I'm glad you all didn't do that.
Yeah, they didn't come last.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't come last. Like we say, hot last. They last.
So now, listen, in the Western Conference, Nuggets took the Northwest Division, Kings took the Pacific Division, and Grizzlies took the Southwest Division. Now, what does that mean? I asked you before, what does that mean, right? Because I see some teams here. When I look at the record, the Bulls with a 40-42 end in the 9th spot, and the Raptors with 41-41 in the 10th spot below them, right? How did the division win? How does that position a team in the playoffs?
That's what you was about to say. That's what you inadvertently said. All it means is that they had a better head-to-head record against the Raptors.
Right, and so that puts them above them. Well, then, these things are fascinating, almost as fascinating as Buddy Hield getting.
You mean a single season record?
Yes.
For most trees?
Right.
For him?
Only behind Thompson.
Yeah.
Junior. Almost as exciting as that.
I didn't follow the Pacers as hard as I should have,
mm-hmm.
as closely as I should have. But I don't know what they're missing because you got Buddy throwing up nearly 300 three-pointers and you're still in the 11th spot.
Well, this is the
better than him and they're in the playoffs.
Who's the coach?
Steph was turned. I mean,
who's the coach?
Maybe he needs another three-point specialist. Honestly, maybe that's the answer.
Rick
Carlisle.
Steph
was 1-3. I don't know.
It's not the best coach.
It may be an issue with the coaching.
Yeah.
Because my thing is this. If I'm watching Buddy, right? And it appears as if every time Buddy has a hot night, three-pointer night, these guys are losing. Does it mean that a player like Buddy needs to reassess his contribution to the team and he needs to reinvent himself and bring that same star talent in another role or function on that team?
Well, he's a sniper. He's a shooter. So, so no matter where he goes, no matter what he does, his role is going to be shoot the ball. Now, the problem is, if he shoots and he misses, is there somebody there to collect the offensive rebound? Are they running plays for other players? Because then if Buddy gets off, then the opposing team knows, hey, stop ball. When ball hit the man on, stop ball.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if nobody else is open to shoot or nobody else has the confidence to shoot, I should say, you stifle your team's offense.
It's kind of ironic that they have, I think, Tyrese Haliburton have the most assists in the league. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like 10 assists a game he averages. And I don't know why Pacers can't win.
Well, look here. Of all the results, Pacers not making the playoffs.
They just can't end game properly. That's the issue with them. They just can't finish games.
Man, look here. But they need to come to the Bahamas, because I remember Coach Green at QC in 1991-1992, and these are the sorts of things that he talked about, right? Being able to finish the game, the sort of soft, savvy skills that you, no matter how hard you could dunk the ball, you can't win a game unless you know these things. Let's go through Buddy's record just before we close out the show. I mean, he had a great year. The Grand Bahama native averaged 16.8 points, 5 rebounds, 0.8 assists per game in his 80 games played this season. He was able to post a career high 1.2 steals per game. He shot 45.8% from the field and 42.5% from deep, which was his best clip from deep since 2018-2019 season. That means this is 3 points from deep is 3 points, right? Is 42.5, is that average, is that percentage sufficient for you to tell me that, I mean, yeah, coach, I know we ain't winning the games, but I hitting plenty threes. I don't think I need to change what I'm doing on the court. In terms of basketball, is 42.5 of an extremely respectable three-point percentage?
Extremely respectable. He's doing his job. Bill Belichick has said it back over the years. Do your job.
Boy, look here. It's a good thing they don't make a woman like me the coach, because I can tell my players, this is like high school, buddy. If you ain't hitting 60% on these three-pointers, if you ain't hitting Steph... 60. I said 60%, sir. If you ain't hitting what Steph Curry make me believe he's shooting every game, 60%, then put the ball down and get inside the line. Shoot something you could hit all the time.
Well, Santo is 60%. He's like 48. 49.
Yeah, 48.
I got you. 42.5 is still respectable. Buddy, I know you may not be listening, right? We have your back. We had your back. Kai, Buddy, DeAndre, no matter how far y'all go this year, I mean, to y'all, just go train. We got your back. We appreciate what you've done, how you've represented the country. Buddy, it got a little frustrating there for you. I know you're having fun. We love you, and we all always looking out to you and for you. I see there's a caller on the line there, but I am all out of time, caller. I am so sorry. We got to end the show. Simba, thank you for joining me today. I didn't even get to talk about Desron, the King Forbes, Caden Cartwright, Jamia Nabi, Kamara Strong, Diore. Right, even the swim guys, y'all.
Trust me.
Producer, give them a 3 second.
I'm not trying to talk about how they hock up them boys. First time you swim for the rest of what you're going to get you.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a custom.
I didn't know either. We can talk about that next week, Simba. Congratulations to Celeste, David Singh, Gibbs, and Forbes.
Forbes, yeah.
Listen, you guys, y'all put it all out there, and the only thing we could do is be forever proud of you. Thank you for representing the Bahamas. Thank you for tuning into the show. Eric, thank you for taking time out of your workday to join us. Thank you, Simba.
No problem. Sorry I didn't make it in studio.
I waking on them breadfruit, Simba. It's breadfruit time.
I'm waiting for breadfruit right now.
There you go. You guys have a wonderful day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Nuri is up next.